Today is the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. As I mentioned, it's also the feast and the nativity of St. John the Baptist. So the epistle for the nativity of St. John the Baptist is taken from Isaiah chapter... That is 57, 56. Give ear, ye islands, and hearken, ye people from afar. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother. He hath been mindful of my name, and he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand he hath protected me, and hath made me a chosen arrow. In his quiver he hath hidden me, and he said to me, Thou art my servant Israel, for in thee will I glory. And now saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant. Behold, I have given thee to the light of the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation, even to the farthest part of the earth. Kings shall see, and princes shall rise up, and adore for the Lord's sake, and for the Holy One of Israel, who hath chosen thee. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 1. Elizabeth's full time of being delivered was come, and she brought forth a son. And her neighbors and kinfolk heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy towards her, and they congratulated with her. And it came to pass that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they called him by his father's name Zachary. And his mother answering said, Not so, but he shall be called John. And they said to her, There is none of thy kindred that is called by this name. And they made signs to his father, how would he call him? And demanding a writing tablet, he wrote, saying, John is his name. And they all wondered. And immediately his mouth was opened, and his tongue loosened, and he spoke, blessing God. And fear came upon all their neighbors, and all these things were noised abroad over all the hill country of Judea. And all they that had heard them laid them up in their hearts, saying, What a one, think ye, shall this child be? For the hand of the Lord was with him. And Zachary, his father, was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, because he hath visited and wrought the redemption of his people. Please stand, please be seated. The sufferings of this time are not worthy to be compared with the glory to come, the glory that will be revealed in us. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Well, obviously, since we have the Feast of St. John the Baptist, we still have the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. In trying to consider and trying to tie in the two masses itself, one, this quote comes from the fourth Sunday after Pentecost. St. Paul mentions to us of how the sufferings that we have in this life, you know, they're not to be compared to what is to come for us. The earthly sufferings, they're necessary, obviously, for us. Necessary for us as children of God. In conflicts and in sufferings, obviously as a Catholic, we find our strength and our comfort in our Lord Jesus Christ. To illustrate that point, Father Lean in his book, Why the Cross, he says, So bitter is the process of purification in the world to come, as compared with the same process as wrought out on earth. That God, in his love, gives largely of the cross to his friends in order to save them from the fate of quitting the world unpurified, and consequently, immediately being ready for the beatific vision. And so what Father Lean is trying to explain, because one, the whole book is centered on the idea of why do we have crosses and trials? Why do we have sufferings? And so he mentions that it is through the love of God that God gives to his friends in order to save us from them having to be purified in the next life. And that's why he mentions about how this process of purification, that it's so bitter in the next life compared to what we have in this life. Compared to what we have the opportunity to offer up to God. And so that is similar to what St. Paul is telling us in the epistle. That yes, we have our sufferings, we have our crosses, we have our trials. But they are nothing in terms of what the glory is to come for us. We suffer these things in order to get to the next life. And so that is what St. Paul, that is what Father Lean tries to explain to us. But I think also then, just to reflect on the life of St. John the Baptist, also what he suffered, what he went through. I mean, granted, we see with St. John the Baptist that he would be killed for the truth, that he would suffer these things because he preached the truth, that he would be beheaded for that purpose. But St. John the Baptist, previous to that, we see with the life of St. John the Baptist, he was there to try to prepare the people for the coming of our Lord. It says in yesterday's Mass, the vigil of St. John the Baptist, in the gradual, it says, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came to bear witness of the light, to prepare unto the Lord a perfect people." So his whole purpose was to prepare the people for the coming of our Lord. So he spent his time preaching, sacrificing, showing them this example. It is something that we bring out in Advent as we prepare for the coming of the Christ child. Yes, this figure of St. John the Baptist is so important. But then also then we see how St. John the Baptist, he preached to the people, to the point that the people thought he was the Messiah because of his holiness of life. But St. John always turned it to our Lord. He always tried to help the people to see that, no, I am not the chosen one. The Redeemer is to come, and that is who I am preparing you for. I'm trying to show to you that the Redeemer is to come. And so, yes, St. John, he was to bear witness to this light. And from that, that brings us, reminds us of the last gospel, how it says even in there that this light, a light that was not known by the people, his own people rejected this light. And so that is what St. John the Baptist was up against, preaching to people that would ultimately reject him, reject our Lord Jesus Christ, the light that is there. And we can maybe wonder how that they could have rejected our Lord, this true Messiah, by his preaching, by his miracles, by the things that he did. He should have shown to them that he was the true Messiah. But he was unknown to the people. This light that came into the world, a world of darkness, yes, but the people would stay in darkness. But even in a way, we can look at this Mass and see how the apostles, they also didn't truly know our Lord. Because in the gospel account, we have the famous story of our Lord telling St. Peter, Simon Peter, to go out, to drop his nets, to try to catch fish. And how St. Peter tells our Lord, "You know, I've been out all night, I caught nothing." And St. Peter trying to explain to our Lord, obviously, him being a fisherman, this was his livelihood, this is what he always did. You know, this is not the time to go out, this is not the opportunity to catch anything. But if you tell us to go out, we'll go out. So that you can see that there was, in a way, this doubt of St. Peter. A doubt in the words of what our Lord said to him. So even the apostles being with our Lord, they too did not truly know our Lord. This light that came into the world. So they lacked this confidence in the words of our Lord. So what happened? He obeyed and made his greatest catch, to the point that their nets were breaking because they had so many fish. And at that point, immediately St. Peter then says, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I am a sinful man. I am not worthy then to be with you." In a way, we can see that St. John the Baptist, even though obviously St. John the Baptist was a very holy man, he was sanctified in the womb because of the visit of the Blessed Virgin Mary with our Lord, But he too would talk about how unworthy he was. But there is one that is greater that is to come. I am not even worthy to loosen his sandals, the latchet of his sandal. I'm not even worthy to do that. Of trying to help the people to see truly of our Lord coming. And so from this, as I say, trying to tie in the two, this fourth Sunday preaches to us about confidence in our Lord, the trust in our Lord that we must have. Reminds us of that. Throughout the Mass, you will see that our Lord is our protector, he's our sanctifier, he is the one that is to redeem us. So illustrates to us of how we must trust in Almighty God, the confidence that we must have. It's something that I mentioned a bit last week with the Feast of the Sacred Heart. The mercy of the Sacred Heart and the confidence and the trust that we must have in that. And so it continues on. It continues to remind us of that trust, that confidence that we have in Almighty God. And so how the Church brings this out to us, as I say, throughout this Mass, it constantly brings that up to us. It shows to us of what confidence we must have. And it's illustrated, obviously, in the apostles, yes. Maybe at first thinking, this is not going to do anything. And yet they make this great catch. And you can see how St. Peter puts the two together. He realizes his weakness. He realizes that he should have no part with our Lord. But our Lord tells him, I'm going to not make you, you know, where you fish the sea any longer. You will be a fisherman of souls. And that is what I'm calling you to do. And so even from that, we see with St. John the Baptist, he was meant to go out to prepare the people, perfectly, that they would be ready for the coming of our Lord. And how at that time they rejected our Lord. How at this time we see truly a rejection of our Lord. But even as the apostles had all the miracles, all that they saw, they still did not even know our Lord. They too, in a way, had rejected our Lord at that time. Yes, our Lord would perform miracles. Yes, our Lord would show to them. And it was building upon that confidence until finally, yes, with Pentecost, which we celebrated four Sundays ago, that they finally gained the strength to go out to preach. And so truly it is a building process for us. It is something for all of us to try to elicit that great confidence in our Lord. And we see with the miracle that our Lord did with the fishes for St. Peter to help him. But through his preaching, through our Lord's preaching, through his miracles, we see that. We benefit from that. And that for us should help us to have the confidence. And it should, yes, it should help us to realize the sufferings that we go through in this life, the difficulties, the crosses that we have, they are meant to help us to gain the next life. And that is out of God's love, which I think can be hard for us to understand. Because when we think of love, we think of that it's not going to hurt. But God, because he loves us so much, he will desire for us to suffer now than in the next. And that is why you have St. Augustine say that famous quote, it is much better to suffer now than in the next life. Which is so true. It's almost as if we want our cake and to eat it too, that we don't want any sufferings here, and we certainly don't want any sufferings in the next life. The sufferings will come. The trials will come. The crosses will come. And as I say, Father Lean points out very well in his book why the cross, why that is. Why do we have those? Why do we have to undergo those? It is because God loves us. And because of the purification that is necessary for our souls, that he would much rather have it for us here. than the bitter purification that is in the next life. And so pray and to think about that, to realize why the words of St. Paul are so true, that yes, the sufferings that we have in this life, they pale in comparison to what is to come for us. The glory that is there, they pale in comparison to that. And so St. John the Baptist, he went out and he preached. He prepared the people as best he could, trying to instruct them, trying to help them to see that there is one that is to come. He is the Messiah. And so let us pray for that strength to deal with our crosses and our trials, to realize that they are meant for purification. I will leave you with words of the offertory of today's the Mass of the fourth Sunday. Enlighten mine eyes that I never sleep in death, lest at any time my enemies say I have prevailed against him. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.